This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Nini Marini, who calls herself an artist and maker, a graduate from the Birmingham Institute of Art and Design. But the last we spoke was when she came on air on a TV show, talking about as the director behind a TV show, right?
Oh
and
God.
So you, I remember. And so anyway, your last role before going into being an artist and maker was general manager of innovation and distribution at Primeworld Studios. Of course, this is with Media Prima.
Yes.
And you've made this move to go back to the origin
to
of
the
what,
core.
To the core.
Yes.
So we'll talk about when you first got into art
First.
What made you decide to, you know, study art?
Mm.
And how did you actually go into Media Prima?
Oh, man. It's been a real journey. I've always loved art. You know, let's just say I started art ever since I could draw, 3 years old. And I've always been an art girl. So, you know, leading up to, you know, education, everything was in the arts. I did an arts degree in Birmingham, and it was called visual communications, the studying of concepts and signs and symbols. And in university, I don't know why, but I realized that I wanted to go into television.
Mm.
So it was an art degree, but I was the only joker there that wanted to learn how to make trailers for movies.
Okay.
And so time-based media became something where it was a mixed media degree, so I could do illustration. And I was really interested in animation. At one point, I wanted to be an animator as well, but that didn't work out because Dad said, don't go to America. So, and my dream was Cal Arts, so I couldn't do that. So, you know, UK it is. Yeah, so during the entire university period, I was very fascinated with moving images and also trailers. So I kind of fashioned my art degree into a media degree,
okay.
Interestingly enough. And I did a lot of illustrations, animation, plus videography, which is what I did in school. And at the end of school, Channel 4 interviewed me for an internship summer program.
Mm.
It was 1999, and you remember, it was also recession.
Mm.
And I was accepted. It was a foreigner. Because I was the only art student again that was interested in television. So we're like, yeah, we remember you because of that. It got pulled out, and I didn't have a backup plan. And so I came back to Malaysia because Dad's like, I'm not going to fund you for another year bumming around the UK. So I came back and I had a lead at TV3.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey as an assistant producer began. I chose sports production. Instead of entertainment, because I knew no one.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a bit of golf, and then that's how it started. And then it progressed, and I was there for nearly 20 years.
Right.
In that capacity. I mean, I went out a little bit, and I became a producer, and then I came back again and became content developer, and my role has changed every year. I was just looking at my resume.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow. My role changed every year as a content innovator. I finally ended up being a content innovator, which meant I could explore anything.
Right.
And that was the perfect job. And anyone would have like loved that kind of job. But for me, I felt that I needed to explore more. Something was missing.
Mm.
And I figured, okay, I am 40 and I have good, solid 10 years of energy left in me, I think.
No, than that.
Yeah, true. But, you know, to make a play for a new thing, I thought this is the time that I needed to do it. And all cliches, yes, at 40 you have this turning point, but it really did take a few years to get myself to that point where I could exit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all this while when you were in corporate and all that, were you painting?
Yes.
Okay.
I was doing that at the same time. From the start, actually, in 99, I was illustrating for horoscopes for Her World magazine.
Oh.
On the side, I don't know if you know Natasha Kral from Harper's, and she gave me my first gig. They were paying me an 80 ringgit per illustration. You know, the horoscope
girls?
Yes,
girl? Yes.
Yeah, I was like every night, you know, I'd paint and then get my 80 bucks. I'm like, yay! And so I've always done art on the side. And I think that's how we met socially as well, because I started doing creative collaborations with various brands.
Yes.
And I started doing that seriously in 2006 onwards when Fendi. Again, Natasha and Clara Goh from Fendi invited me to photograph the bag, and that led to another collaboration with them. And then it started rolling, coming in. And that's really when the media started taking notice. At first, they thought I was just a social girl, socialite. Ugh, I hate that word. But yeah, so society girl. And then they go, oh, you're artist, you're fashion. They didn't even know that I did media.
Right.
That was interesting.
Right.
Until suddenly everybody's like, oh, wait, you do media and you do art. And then one day it started coming together. I think that was like in 2010.
Okay.
That's when I kind of like coming out party, and then Media Prima started realizing that I could do that. So I started painting their walls.
Okay.
And that's when my world sort of like merged and I could become whole in a way. Yeah,
right. And it's brilliant, right? I mean, that they were very supportive of who you are in your totality.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is now your time. This is the birthday week.
Yeah.
Right? This is your time. And yeah. What made that decision now to just sort of focus back on art?
What made the decision? What opportunity came? Mm. I think last year, the company had announced a couple of changes, and there was an opportunity for me to exit, and with a package as well. So, and Media Prima, I give hats off to them because they worked with me, HR worked with me to figure out different ways of working together. But in the end, we both realized that we needed to have a clean break. And I'm thankful that they were supportive, and they still are. You know, I'd like to say that I have like a little bridge there. If I think there's Mayday, I can probably come back and come back to them. But, you know, I'm trying not to.
Such an important lesson, right? Never burning bridges and just keeping that friendship open.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a podcast, Frida, in Media Prima under Ice Kacang. It was me and my friend Trini. It was called The Trini Show. Mm. Anyway, we spoke about exiting and saying goodbyes and towards my last week there. And it was like, you can exit well, and meaning to say that you can say your goodbyes and exit with good vibes, or decide to just cut it off.
Right.
So, but I was the one that did a slow burn, and I did like, but goodbye to you, for let's lunch and dinner and things like that. And so the relationships I formed over the last 20 years still maintain, hopefully.
Right.
You know, I think the biggest thing that was really also a bit sad for me was realizing that the doors of Mordor is closing on upon me once I'd started to really ejecting myself from the company.
Right.
It's just I realized that, wow, that bridge and that door, that invisible door, is kind of closing to that world that I once knew.
Mm.
And then, boom, I'm out like Nemo in the big ocean. And I'm like, ooh, there's no one actually. And then I started going to the studio like as if it was an office. And then the only person that I was talking to is like the studio friends, thank God, and just me. Mm. And it's really quiet on the other side.
And I don't think the door is closed. I think it's just so that you can fully focus on what you have to do right now.
Yeah.
If there are too many options, then your mind will start wandering. No, now is that time, you know, to focus.
It really is that time. And it's like super scary. And every day I'm thankful. Right. I'm thankful that I'm given this opportunity. And it's like, okay, you've been saying that you want to do this. Mm. I mean, this is self-talk, right? Mm. A lot of friends also say that you should talk to yourself and snap yourself out of like any fear that you may have. And I said, this is your time. You need to really bite the bullet and just do it. There's no more excuses, right? And so,
that. How would you describe your art? We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Nini Marini, artist and maker. You're listening to Her Vantage PFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Nini Marini, artist and maker, formerly at Media Prima as the General Manager of Innovation and Distribution. And she decided to, you know, this year focus on her art. And I've seen your work. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
How would you describe it? Where do you get your inspiration for your art?
I was working on this as well. Sorry, how do you, your log line, right? So it's vibrant, expressive art inspired by nature. Right. And life observations. That's basically it. That's me in a nutshell. So all my work is like full of color. It's always got movement and action, and it's expressive. Meaning to say, every time I go to the canvas, I put emotion first, and it starts with color, and then the visuals form as I go. Yeah, okay. And I never know what I'm painting beforehand. It's really freestyle. I don't plan. I used to plan, but it turns out to, you know, I can emulate anything, right. You know. So it's just about putting some kind of feeling on the canvas first, sitting back and seeing a visual vision, something come
right.
up. Yeah, and it's, for me, imagination is necessary. Mm. So you need to be able to see what's not there. And my art is about that. Mm. I didn't, you know, I'm an artist, but I'm also self-taught. Mm. I went to art school, but it was in a different capacity. Mm. I didn't do fine art. I had fine artists, and they were really like, oh my God, your work is really like, because there's no sense, no form, no composition, no rules to it. My mom's an art teacher. An art lecturer, actually, in textiles. And how I learned art is she gave me tools and I could do anything I wanted to do and explore anything I wanted to do. And that's a huge DNA part of me.
Right.
It's like to visualize something or to make something out of nothing and using pure imagination and memory is a big thing for me in my art, yeah.
Okay, so you use what, acrylic?
I use acrylic because it's the fastest one.
It dries faster.
Dry fast because I'm impatient. I can do like three or four at the same time. Seriously, I love oils, but it's like, wow, turpentine and mix here, mix. I can't do that. So acrylics is my go-to. I also use Indian ink for paper.
Right.
And mixed media, a lot of mixed media work. So, you know, crayons and things like that on different surfaces, depending on how I feel.
So maker, what are you making?
I make fashion. I make lifestyle products. So that's me in the designer capacity. But I'm also a video maker, so a content creator. So I can also make video and content that way. And I'm thinking that I'd like to do more art videos in the future. So that's me in the maker definition.
Right.
Yeah. So the maker in the lifestyle products thing. It started with my exhibition in 2016. I did Reflections of a Peacock Butterfly and hashtag, so you can look at it on Instagram. Okay. I did everything. And it was a collaboration with Epson. And Epson came into the picture rather randomly as well, again through a creative collaboration I did with them before. And they were so like, oh, you know what, Nini, we'd like to really work with you in a deeper capacity. Mm. So we're going to give you some funds. And so that was enough. Thank you. And that was enough to fund my first exhibition. And what they wanted me to do is explore printing.
Right.
So I did dye sublimation with them. And what I did is I had like some big artwork, I photographed it, and then I printed it on different fabrics and textiles, ceramics, any kind of surfaces. And the result of that was I made into dresses, I made into like coasters and furniture. And that started the ball rolling. So from 2016 to about 2018, I was doing a lot of products because people wanted it, including like a lab coat series, which was like an overcoat,
right?
But like scientists, but you know, like your colorful scientists. So I had a series. I had 150 pieces that were sold out on WhatsApp, and I was just selling things online that way. And I realized that people are really engaging with my art in a different way, and I love that my art is so touchable and wearable and accessible, and that's also a huge thing for me. So and that led to many many explorations, and I amassed quite a lot of things in the end. So I decided to recently put them all online on Shopee. So that was my first kind of check off. I've done that online e-commerce shopping site. So that's been it's been great.
So when people want to find you, what, they go to your IG, is that the best?
My IG is the best. Okay. I've also done a link tree where you can see the other social media. So if you go to my my bio, you can just click on the link and it'll lead you to all the various social media streams that I have.
And that's Nini Marini?
Marini at Nini Marini. So I have an identity crisis of like, I have two profiles online. One's a personal one, Nini Marini _, and then the other one is Marini by Nini Marini. Because I can't do just Marini. There's a lot of Marinis in Malaysia. No, I don't own the restaurant.
So to see your artwork, that's Marini by Nini Marini. Okay, so that's where if people want to buy anything. Now, yes. now that you've come out to do this, like sort of, you know, focus on this full time, right?
Yeah.
What have you discovered about art in Malaysia, the kind of people you have to work with, or not opportunities or communities, and what would you like to see change?
I don't know. Okay, there's so many. I was telling you earlier, the first things I did was I went to a World Art Summit early this year to find out what's happening in the art scene. Number one thing that I noticed that I realized that Malaysia doesn't have an arts council. Mm. They have a craft council and all that. And I wish to see an arts council. And I wish to see one where there is also opportunities to develop artists in earnest, meaning to say, and not just performing art, it's just a fine art. There's also experimental everything art. And I'd like to see a fund there so that they can not give out, I mean, like they can award to people who can further their craft, because a country is evolved because of art. And art is innovation. And you need to have, you know, Einstein was both an artist and a scientist. And look at what he did. So we need to continue doing that. I also want to be connected to people in a deeper way. Not to say, like, designers and artists have their own communities. And I realize that they have, like, the fine artists have communities within the communities. And you also have your videographers and all that. But there's not one, like, for me, I need to be connected to manufacturers. I need to be connected to business people, to accounts. And I feel like we can create some sort of space where an artist can be art entrepreneurs. I think I would love to see that, because that would
hashtag
really happen. Yeah, entrepreneurs. I would like to see that happen, because artists need to be more commercial in Malaysia.
Right.
In a way, they need to find ways of developing income.
Right.
And it cannot be a sad story of nobody wants to buy my art. There's different with art licensing. I took myself to New York, and I did that last year, May, and it was to a place called Surtex, a surface textile convention.
Right. Wow.
I decided this should be my, and I was working Media Prima at the time. So I decided to go and check out this. I was very curious about art licensing. Mm. And so Surtex is a surface and textile conference.
There's a conference around that,
yes,
right?
I went in. Oh my God, I died. It was like cubicles and rows and rows of print. Like all kinds of prints, like what you're wearing kind of prints. Like, and it was so funny because I was in the new artist section. So all these new buyers from like Hallmark and Target, they would come and check out prints, you know, to buy for the next year.
Right.
So I realized what kind of business it was and how much you can actually make per print if you sold it to, for example, China, or you sold it to like Target or Starbucks for, you know, the coffee cups.
Yep.
They license art.
Right.
But they will look at, and there's a certain way that they will look at you as an artist. And if you're a first timer, they kind of like, okay, nice to meet you.
Okay.
But they need to see you more often, like all conferences and all like media conferences and things. You need to see this person committed.
Mm.
So they want to see the artist committed. And you need to have a portfolio that can speak many languages.
Mm.
So if you are going into surface textile design or pattern design, you need to have prints that are like textural, geometric prints, like down, tropical, you know, and then you have to have a very strong brand identity.
Right.
Because then they will keep going back to you if they like your work and if you're consistent. And so it was such a great eye-opening experience for me. And I realized my market is Latin America, but surprise, surprise. And like Africa,
right.
New York, native New York, love my work. They're like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Right.
From Malaysia.
Like, you've got that vibe.
And yeah, it was super, super like bright and they loved it. But, you know, there's many Surtexes in the world.
Right.
And so it's just then you have to not fall into the trap of keep on going to those exhibitions, because you may not get a lead.
Mm.
For me, it was R&D.
Yep.
I didn't repeat it again this year because I knew what I needed to do and I wasn't ready yet. So I'm going to do that. And that's going to be a good source of passive income,
right?
If I get that going.
And there isn't any of that sort in this part of the world. You know, in ASEAN, do we have something similar?
No.
See?
Not really. I mean, I think the closest one, oh no, there's none. I was looking at it now. But it was scary though. I mean, like I had China come up to me and say, you know, you know, you're you're from Malaysia, great. I distribute to all of Malaysia popular bookstore, all the stationery.
Right.
So they pointed to my painting. I only had 6 prints, which are my art prints, my babies, right? They're like, how much is that? And I thought, oh my God, I can't sell that. And then realized that it's going to be so many places.
Oh.
You know, like if one print can be on anything. You know, they're literally saying, we're going to buy this print, but we will not be able to control how we use the print. So that also goes down to how you negotiate.
Right.
For your licensing. So it's interesting as a former distributor. So that's a
That comes in very handy.
Very handy.
Right. Having that experience and having that,
you know,
that knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. And how people can be taken for a ride because they don't know any better.
Exactly. But, you know, just FYI, guys, if you think that you're going to sell your art for art licensing for thousands, the rate is it starts from $150 US for a print. And it can it depends on which category that you allow this license to be exposed to.
Okay.
And that's another thing as well, copywriting. So you need to make sure that your artwork is copyrighted, and that's money as well.
Okay.
And you also have to make sure that's international copyrighted, and that's also additional money.
Wow.
So if you want me to talk to you further, just call me or contact me on Instagram. Because I did research.
All right. So this is all leading up in Malaysia for your exhibition in November.
Okay. Oh, yes. We spoke about this focus, right? Now, enough with what I want to try and do. You know what it was, you know, Frida? I'm so used to having a certain amount of money, right?
Okay.
And having it not be there makes me really panicky.
Okay.
So that's why I wanted to do. When I came out, I was like, I'm going to do everything, you know, like video production, blah, 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 set up company. Then I realized, oh, too much clutter. So let's focus down and do what I needed to do, which is come up with my exhibition, my second one, and that will be in November.
Okay, so no details as yet?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm going to do, and it's not going to be the same as my previous one where I paint and then it translates to work, because I feel like I don't want it to be a norm for me. So I'd like to look into other things. I'm sending out messages everywhere that I want to explore technology and art, augmented reality. Maybe I'm also would like to go into craft as well. So I'd like to do my own blocks, my batik blocks. I know people do it, but I've been obsessing. I want to do my own blocks and work into like natural dyes. You know, I've been researching all Malaysian craft. It's so beautiful. The patterns, actually, the patterns in Malaysian craft. It's got so many stories to tell. And I'd like to do something like that in the exhibition.
Right. And of course, you're open to collaborations and sponsorships and all that?
Yes. Yes.
Plug that in.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. You know it's all about collaboration.
I look forward to seeing it in November. Thanks for being with us. Finally, Nini Marini, artist and maker. You've been listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.